What's up, everybody? It's Thursday, April 9th, and we're in for another episode from the Anything Goes podcast. I hope everybody's doing well out there. I hope everybody had a great weekend, and thus far this week has been good or great for you as well, considering the circumstance. I mean, we are still under quarantine and been advised to stay in our home, so it's not too much that we can do as far as getting out, stretching our legs, having some sense of normality. But, you know, with what we're given and what could be the new norm moving forward, at least for the time being or the foreseeable future, I hope everything's going okay. My week has been boring. You know, I'm home all day, every day, working from home. At least I do have a job. I'm not complaining. Although they have cut us back from 40 hours a week to 38 hours a week. So that's what, 76 hours of pay period. That's 4 hours missing out of my check. So I'm kind of bummed about that. But at least I still have some income coming in. And if all else fails, I'm going to go back to what I know. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that, you know, and this blows over pretty soon. But if not, it is what it is. We have to eat. We have to survive. And I knock no one's hustle. Today, I don't want to be repetitive. I don't. You know, we're going to touch on the coronavirus, of course, because why would we not? You know, it's what's in the news every time you look up, every time you're on social media. That's all people are talking about, as they should be. I think people should take it more serious than they were. Of course, I've been saying the past couple weeks that, you know, I'm currently taking this more serious than I did previously. So we'll talk about it briefly, basically, you know, with the essential workers. Shout out to them. You know, that's getting out there every day, putting their life, their health, their safety, their families, because they're going to work and then they're going home. They could be exposing an entire household to the coronavirus. I give them the utmost respect, and I want to definitely highlight a former schoolmate of mine, Keisha Gregory. She's a nurse. She's up in New York. She's from here, lives here. She's up in New York, and she's on the front line. You know, anybody that's willing to put themselves to the side to help people in dire situation and dire needs, they should be commended. So I tip my hat to her, you know, for what she's doing. That's brave. That's courageous. She's away from her family, her children. And that's a big deal. You know, that she should definitely be commended. Drink on me. You know, definitely. When I come across you and we're out, I definitely have a drink for you. Or two, maybe. depending on if I get more hours. But I commend you for what you're doing, for all that you do. Even when you're not, you know, being heroic in New York, you're being heroic here because you are a nurse. You are, you know, in that medical service field. You are looking after people and their well-being. And you're just doing something right now that everyone wouldn't do. It takes a special, certain type of person to be in the medical field, especially when you're hands-on, you know, when you're dealing with patients, when you're a CNA, a nurse, or a doctor. That's a very, very, very big deal. That's a very trying job. It's very tedious. It's very, you know, detail-oriented. You have to pay attention to what you're doing, basically. And for her to do this here and then go there and do it considering the circumstances, I commend you for it. So I wanted to shout her out, definitely. You know, and to everyone else who's doing the same things, all of our nurses, our doctors, you know, our CNAs, and I can't forget people who work in housekeeping, patient transportation. I used to do those things as well. Dietary, I commend and I salute them too, because you're walking around the hospital that have people who are infected with this virus, and you're going to work every day, making a living, putting yourself at risk just to make sure that everyone at that hospital who is a patient is taken care of and still having a remarkable experience. Salute to y'all. Salute to everyone on the front line. And we can even take it to just the service industry in itself, people who work in that Walmart, at your pharmacies. I salute y'all. I commend you. And after this is all over and during this trying time, I believe that y'all should be compensated. You know, big bonuses. These are billion-dollar corporations. They have the money. They have the money probably 10 times over. So hopefully, you know, you guys get a package pretty soon. Y'all should definitely be put on a silver platter right now. You deserve it. You deserve all that you do. You're keeping the country moving, because if it wasn't for y'all, and you know, if y'all were to stop working, I don't know what we would do. I'm serious. You know, like I said, Keisha, she's at ground zero, literally. She's at the epicenter of this in New York. So, we have to, as a country, as a people, we have to keep moving. We have to, you know, stay positive. But if it weren't for these people in these service industries, this country would crumble. So we have to talk about where this originated from, where this virus originated from. It originated from China. Matter of fact, in a place called Wuhan, China, which is in a province. They've come off of their lockdown. They were on lockdown for 77 days. And it's been lifted. And they're trying to get back to a normal life. Let me take a sip of my wine. And no, this is not a be fancy cocktail. This is just wine. If you know me, you know why I'm doing this. Sorry for that pause. Right, this is a white wine. It's pretty good. It's a Moscato. So China is like, look, we're trying to get back to a normal way of living. And all reports show that that's impossible right now, because this isn't the first wave of the coronavirus that China has experienced. It's the second. And healthcare officials and government officials over in China are saying they're getting prepared for what may be a third round of this virus, which is scary, because they're the catalyst for what's going on around the world. And if they're saying, hey, you know, we're trying to get back to a life of normalcy, a normal way of living, trying to open up our economy again, because there's a lot of businesses there that, you know, they haven't been able to working. They haven't been able to work or open up for almost 100 days, 77 days. That's a lot of time that has elapsed. So in Hong Kong, they've opened up a lot of the tourist sites. People have been flocking and flooding to these areas, but there's still a chance that this virus has not left. You know, how do you know if something is completely gone? It's trial and error. So, you know, our fingers are definitely crossed. We're praying for the people in China and Wuhan and Hong Kong, all over China, you know, all in Asia, period, like that whole area. You know, we have to pray for them, because now they're attempting to get back to a normal way of life, but their economy has been hit hard. And that's one of my biggest concerns here in America is our economy. And will it bounce back? How long will it take for the economy to, stabilize? Because we have a lot of businesses that are closed. We have some that are coming up with creative ways to be able to serve the community and the people, but you're still losing money. You get what I'm saying? We're still looking at a uphill battle, and so is China. You know, every country, every continent that's been affected by this virus will have a long way to go to rebuild. Right now, the United States is okay. We're not crippled. But how long will we be able to sustain this way of living? You know, at the end of last week, they were saying that the next 2 weeks, which will be this week and next week, will be some of the worst cases of this virus. The death toll is going to rise, you know, the number of people who are affected or infected, it's going to rise. And I've been seeing it with the line of work that I do. You know, I've seen more cases this week, you know, and it really makes you think, will this be our new normal? You know, will this be something that people just have to live with? Will this be something that's just inside of everyone? We don't know. And all we can do right now is watch China and pray for the best. And that's scary. That keeps you on edge. That keeps you guessing and second guessing. You know, early in the week, my anxiety was through the roof because I started overthinking. I'm like, I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to touch anybody. I don't want, you know, people to really be around me. I don't want anybody coming to the house necessarily. I don't want to go anywhere. That's how I was feeling. I had to relax. I had to calm down because I had to tell myself, what if this is the new way of living? What if we have to adapt? And throughout history and just how genetics work, this could be something that you get and you keep. And then you just, you know, as you reproduce, your body, your immune system comes up with its own antibodies, and you pretty much live a prosperous life with this lingering virus inside of you. You know, that's something really, really to consider and to think about. You know, I pray that that's not what happens with us, but in the same sense, it could. You know, and that's just me being honest, no lie. This is something that could change the entire world. It already has. You know, within less than a year, everything has changed drastically and dramatically. And the worst may be behind us, or the worst may be yet to come. We don't know. We won't know. We have to take every day, one day at a time, literally. So, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I don't want to be doom and gloom at all. You know, it is one thing to see something every day, but it's another to dwell on it. And right now, I think we're doing enough dwelling because we really can't move around like we want to. Everything's closed. I rolled through the West Side on, I want to say it was like last Friday or Saturday, and it just looked like a ghost town. Like, even when I go out now, you know, if you hit the highway, you don't see that many cars. It's not like it was a few weeks ago, you know, at the beginning of March. It's nothing like that. One day we were doing everything that we wanted to do, and then the next day school was canceled, and then everything shut down, and restaurants were told that you can't have people sitting dining in, and then movie theaters shut down. What if this is the new normal? We're going to touch on that one day soon. But, you know, everybody out there, you know, stay safe and respect the next man or the next woman, the next child. Things are getting more and more serious. We have people that are recovering. Thank God. You know, I think it's like 300,000 people worldwide have recovered. But my question is always going to be, is the virus completely out of their system? And could they get it again? Because you can get the flu every year. It's different strands. We all know this. So with this virus, will we be prone to getting it again? Or will it just always be in us? These are questions that we're going to have for years to come. We definitely will. So moving along, we have the Hall of Fame class of 2020 to talk about. And this is for the NBA, for the Basketball Hall of Fame. And this trio is probably the greatest class as of now to have went into the Hall of Fame. And if you have been living under a rock, or you just been so, you know, into the coronavirus, you know, this has had your attention. The class of 2020, that Hall of Fame class, that three-headed monster is the great Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and the Mamba, Kobe Bryant. These three men, when you think NBA, these are three players that you automatically think of. All are legends. There's no other word to describe them. They're legends. All three of them. All three of them are league MVPs and NBA champions. They all played in the same era. They battled against each other. The question was, who's better, Kevin Garnett or Tim Duncan? The question was, who had the better career, Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan? Both of them won 5 championships. What if KG would have went to L.A.? What would have happened? Because that, you know, we heard him talk about it on All the Smoke. That was a possibility. How many rings would KG have gotten? Would Kobe have tied Mike or surpassed him? But this class right here, I mean, Kevin Garnett is my all-time favorite basketball player. Him and AI, hands down. So you know I'm crunk. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. I felt like KG. You know what I'm saying? Like the intensity that he played with, you know, for what? Damn near 20 years? If not that. Like, I felt excited because these are three players that I grew up idolizing. Love Tim Duncan. One of the most boring players ever, but he can ball. He can ball. Probably the greatest power forward ever to play the game. Even though KG is my favorite player, I can't take away from the man who dominated that position in his era. Dominated it as far as winning. when it came to accolades and when it came to just all around, an all around player, I would take KG. But when it came down to winning, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, traded to the LA Lakers, a part of, you know, one of the greatest duos to ever play the game with him and Shaq. Three straight NBA finals. Three straight final victories. Shaq leaves, pushed out. Kobe's at it by himself. He had some years where these cats weren't hitting on shit in LA. Then he got some help. Then he won. He went to three straight. Won two back-to-back, two finals MVPs. Was shafted by the NBA. The Lakers got Chris Paul. He vetoed the trade, sent it to the Clippers. We don't know what would have happened if Kobe would have had CP3 and Dwight Howard. CP3 to Dwight catching lobs? We don't know what would have happened. But with things being the way they are and where they stand, these three legends put their mark on the game. They left their mark. They put their stamp on it. And it's great to know that they have been acknowledged with the highest salute for getting into the Hall of Fame. KG, 15-time NBA All-Star, won the All-Star MVP in 03. MVP of the league in 04. That's the year that they finally got out the first round in Minnesota. Win the Defensive Player of the Year in 08 with Boston. That's the same year that they won the title. 12-time all-defensive team. 9 times first team. 9-time all-NBA team. Kobe Bryant, 5 titles, 2 final MVPs. 11 all-NBA teams, first and third. 3-time all-star game MVP. 18-time NBA all-star. Won the MVP back in 08 for the league. All these defensive team 8 times, 7-time first team. Tim Duncan, 15-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA team, 5-time NBA champ, 2 final MVPs, 2 NBA MVPs, 10 times All Defensive Team, and All-NBA team 10 times. And some of the discussions that I've seen, I've just ran through these guys. Stats, the accolades, their accomplishments. And people have been saying and asking, well, which career would you have preferred? And I raised my eyebrow because in the grand scheme of things, I take any one of the three. Any one of the three. They all had outstanding careers. You're talking about Kobe with 5 titles, Tim Duncan with 5, KG got 1. That's 11 rings. Well, we have 4 NBA MVP awards. Defensive Player of the Year. Like, all three of these guys were great defenders. I would take any one of their careers. Any day of the week. Could you say that Kobe is the cream of the crop when it comes to these three? You could. But then you could say Tim Duncan was as well. And then when you just look at from the time that they stepped on the NBA court to the time that they left, not too many people were better than KG all around. Not too many people had that intensity. Not too many people were going to bring it every night And all three of them have had their dark times, their dark days. KG was in Minnesota. Some years they didn't make the playoffs. And most years they were bounced out in the first round. I was a fan, so I know this for sure. Until they got Sprewell and Sam Cassell, Troy Hudson was balling. We had Wally Szczerbiak as well. 2004, they made it to the Western Conference Finals, lost 4-2 to the Lakers. Only time Ticket got out the first round. Sprewell and Cassell were there. That was the only time. When the Boston 08 first year win it, then the team, I mean, they were already past their prime. Him, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. Body started breaking down. But it is what it is. Those 6 years in Boston, never not made the playoffs, always in contention, and a hell of a team to watch. And I loved his years in Minnesota. So that was his dark shadow, not making the playoffs, getting knocked out in the first round. Kobe's was quitting in the Phoenix series, getting mad. You know, being called a bad teammate, being too hard on people. No, he just wanted you to be great. He believed, I'm going to keep shooting. I'm going to get us there. I'm the best. If you remember 2010, second time they played Boston, Paul Pierce cooking. About to go to commercial. They go over to the Lakers huddle. He say, put me on him. I want him. He tell Phil that. He was up for the test. He was up for the test. He wanted to be the greatest player. Not the best. Not the greatest shooting guard. The greatest player. Not the greatest Laker. The greatest player to ever step foot on an NBA floor. That's what Kobe wanted. He didn't back down for no damn challenge. That was the second coming of MJ. But he had his moments. Tim Duncan as well. The big fundamental. Shaq deemed him that. What year was it? 03? Tim Duncan. Oh, well, getting us to the finals. Redemption story. Because Shaq made him and David Robinson look like little kids in the playoffs. Couldn't even get a dub off them. What year was that? 01. But he came back and he got his face back. But that first year against Miami with Big Bron, D. Wade, and Bosh. Oh, Tim Duncan laid an egg. He had a bunny that he missed. He had a bunny that he missed. Then when it was time for him to take a step back with Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge being in the mix, these guys definitely, they went up, 2-0 against OKC, and they ended up getting demolished the rest of that series. So with that being said, I'm giving you the good and the bad and the ugly with these guys, but I would take, and I'm pretty sure any NBA player would take any of these three careers and be satisfied. So, you know, salute to them. My man, Ticket, you definitely in that bitch. Anything's possible, like you said, when you won a championship. We all know about the Mamba, RIP to Kobe. I wish he was here. I would love to have heard that Hall of Fame speech come from him. If that's one person I want to hear from, it's Kobe. Definitely, you know, life gone too soon. And the big fundamental, Tim Duncan, is going to be a great coach. Coached his first game this season, and they won it. Arguably the greatest power forward to ever play. Wake Forest on Winston-Salem. Y'all already know how we rocking. major salute to those guys. And speaking on fitness and, you know, sports, you know, I got to talk about my brother Reginald Glenn on Facebook. Y'all know, y'all type that into your search bar, go to him. He co-owns two gyms, Trifecta Fitness. One is on Patterson Avenue in Winston-Salem. The other one is in Jamestown. And he also has his own brand, RG Fitness. Look him up on Instagram, RG Fitness 34. Holla at him to get yourself in shape, to get yourself fit, to lose those inches that you've been wanting to lose. And, you know, when you hit him up, tell him that his brother sent you. His brother Streets. Like, I was listening to the Anything Goes podcast, man. Streets plugged you. And, you know, I'm coming to holler at you. And he probably going to give you a discount. I doubt it. But it's, you know, take a chance. Take a chance on my brother. But for real, holler at him. He will get you right. He's going to feed your body and your mind. He'll do everything he can to make sure that you achieve those goals that you want to achieve. So, again, look him up on Facebook, Reginald Glenn, Instagram, RG Fitness 34. Let him know Street sent you. All right? So, moving right along, the WWE and AEW. I haven't talked about these two entities in a while, just because of everything that's been going on. I really haven't had time to sit down and watch the AEW Dynamite episodes because they're doing them in empty arenas. Of which, if you know anything about wrestling, if you're a wrestling fan, the crowd makes the event. Always. I remember my pops taking me to War Games back in the 90s and to Monday Nitro back in the 90s. We were always hyped. They would come to the LJVM Coliseum here in Winston. And I mean, I never missed a show. You know, I was definitely always ecstatic. The energy in the building would be great, you know. And I took my son to a WWE event a few years ago, Starrcade, his first event. Crowd was pumped. So when it's an empty arena, it's not, it's kind of a buzzkill. But I've been keeping up. I don't really watch the WWE like that anyway. I've kind of just given up on them at all costs. But, you know, I definitely watch or listen to Solomon's The Sound Off. I definitely keep up with what culture on YouTube. Just to, you know, stay up to speed and up to date. So the WWE, they had WrestleMania, and it was on Saturday and Sunday. They spread it out over 2 days, which made sense because you don't want people sitting there watching 7 hours of wrestling at one time and there's really no crowd interaction. And yes, I said 7 hours because that's probably what it would have been this year, a 7-hour event. It would have been all day. I might be exaggerating, but if you watch WWE pay-per-views or if you watch WrestleMania in the past, you know I'm not that far off. So they spread it out over, you know, the weekend, 2 days, because of the coronavirus. And from everything that I'm seeing and hearing, it was actually a pretty good event. You know, I've definitely watched the Boneyard match. That'll be the only match that I've saw. And shout out to AJ Styles and The Undertaker for putting on a great performance. And shout out to the WWE's production team for being able to shoot this match in this angle the way that they did. So kudos to them. But I don't even want to really dwell on that or touch on that much. I want to talk about how sucky this is for Braun Strowman and for Drew McIntyre. I'm a big Drew McIntyre fan. I was when he was a heel, when he was deemed the chosen one by Vince McMahon when he was on SmackDown, when he became the Intercontinental Champion, and he was beefing with Matt Hardy. Well, he had his feud with Matt Hardy in wrestling terms. He beat Brock. You know, he won the Royal Rumble this year. He beat Brock for the title, but he wasn't able to have that WrestleMania moment. And neither was Braun. Braun was a last-minute replacement for Roman Reigns in the match against Goldberg because Roman Reigns, of course, he's been battling leukemia. And he doesn't need to be exposed to a virus that could possibly take him out or make him sicker than he once was. So Braun Strowman is definitely put into this match, and he wins. They both go over. They both win the titles, you know, the Universal title and the WWE title. And this is definitely Braun's first major title, first title in the WWE outside of the tag team titles. So he's had a WrestleMania moment, I believe, but to win the championship and not have that crowd reaction or not have a proper build to your match, that had to be heartbreaking. And then for Drew McIntyre, who got himself over and they pretty much put the rocket on his back and said, you know, take us home. For him not to get that big pop, that was disheartening, man. So, you know, I hope that one day soon things get back to normal so these guys could, you know, have a major entrance at a pay-per-view or at either Raw or SmackDown and the crowd can shower them with love. Even if it's booze for Strowman, we're acknowledging that you won. Even if people don't like it, they're still giving you the acknowledgement. So this is what the coronavirus is doing. It's turning everything upside down, man. But shout out to the WWE for staying the course. I don't agree that they should have. I think they should cancel everything. Just put out the content that you pre-recorded because they've been doing recordings and just stop. Let people go home, be quarantined, be safe. But, you know, since they put on this show, I salute them. I commend them for what they've done. So before I leave y'all today, you know, I have to talk to you. I gotta spit some game to you. And this goes out to the young guys, the young females, hell, even people my age, men and women. There's some shit that I was thinking about a couple days ago, and I said, we're going to talk about it. No one gives a damn about what you did in the streets. No one gives a damn about the past work that you put in. That shit holds no weight at all. People don't care. A lot of times we get stuck on our past because in the past, you know, man, I was that nigga. I was, you know, I was that female. You know what I'm saying? I was out here. I was in the streets. You know what I'm saying? I was getting money. Everybody knew me. You know what I'm saying? I was putting in work, man. I'm a shooter. I can fight. I can do this, that, and the third. Guess what? That shit holds no weight. At 32, bro, that don't hold no weight. No one cares. People are going to look at you like, so what are you doing now? I could tie it into sports. Old dude won a title 5 years ago. And I'm saying, old dude, you can insert whoever. 5 years ago, he won a championship. Let's say Steve Kerr won a championship 5 years ago. That was his only championship. And then for the next four or five seasons, nothing. His ass out of there. What have you done for me lately? What are you bringing to the table now? A championship from 5 years ago? Nah, bro. So that work you put in 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, nobody cares. I'm going to give y'all an example. I'm going to use me as an example. I'm going to paint a picture. 2005. We outside. Heavy. Every day. We outside. Doing what we do. Get into it. I got a job. I got a little bullshit part-time. I'm in high school. Junior year. Going into my senior year. So, we party one night. You know, we party and we having a good time. Two of the guys get shot. You know what I'm saying? Two of the guys get shot. We get the call. Because we in one area. And then the rest of the guys, they in another area. So, we get the call. Matter of fact, then my mama called me because they called my mom. You know, the police did, the detectives, they called my mom. So my mama called me like, "You at least you where you said you was going to be at." Because after the club, I told her where I was going. I was on Taft Street, of course. So two of the guys get shot. They recover. It's a traumatic experience. I'm working for Pledges. Pledges shut down at the end of 05. So going into 2006, I have no job, but I'm about to graduate. I'm not stressing, but I just want to get my money up because I wasn't relying on my parents for anything. I had income, streams of income coming in. So I'm a movie head. I go to Family Video, they hiring. I'm like, bet, you know what I'm saying? I go do the application. My homegirl Candace working in there. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that I grew up with. So they call me. They give me an interview. This is why I say people don't give a fuck. This is that first time I definitely got that reality check. Because they asked me a question in an interview. They said, you know, what's happened in your life to change you? To make you who you are. And I gave them the fucking example of my homeboys getting shot and how it kind of changed my life a little bit, which it didn't. It really didn't. I started gearing myself towards college, you know, probably the middle of my junior year. I was like, I know I'm going to school. I know I'm getting my degree. I need to step away from the streets. So my senior year, I had kind of like removed myself. Not completely, but I wasn't really hanging like I usually did. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got to get my shit together. You feel me? But I tell them that. I'm like, my homeboys got shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was all at the club together. They started shooting at the club. I'm telling this motherfucker that. It's a white man, for one. And I'm telling them this shit. So, I don't get a call back. You know why? I was a fucking liability. Wasn't an asset, the Family Video. He probably like, motherfucker, why would I hire you? You get what I'm saying? Like, why would I hire you? You know, you're going to bring drama to my place of business. We innocent. We don't know what you got going on out there. I put my foot in my mouth. And I wasn't trying to show off or be cool or none of that. I was living that life, so I was actually using an example. But that right there let me know nobody gives a fuck about what you do in the streets because it holds no weight. I used to think that that shit was cool. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? We doing this, we doing that. You know what I mean? Like, if I ain't do it, one of my niggas did it. If they ain't do it, I did it. That was a rude awakening. The majority of this country is built on working hard. Legal money. Word up. Even if people do illegal shit, while they're getting the legal money, the money's still legal. What they're doing is still legal. Nobody gives a damn about criminals. So to my young ones coming up through the rank, get y'all shit together. Because the streets, man, look. The streets gonna teach you some things. Teach you about loyalty. Teach you to keep your head on a swivel. It'll teach you that sometimes you're the only person that you have. It'll show you who your real friends are. It'll show you the snakes. Streets will do all of that. It might even provide for you, put some food on your table, clothes on your back. But unless you plan on being around street individuals and criminals your entire life, bro, that shit is a waste of time. So do what you're doing now. Come through the ranks, you know, have fun. I'm not, bro, I hope y'all make it out. But when it's over with, my nigga, it's over with. Don't live in the past. You will never be able to see what's ahead of you. You will never be able to achieve a goal if you keep dwelling on what you did before. It's always going to be a weight. You remember you watching them cartoons, Bugs Bunny. It's an infamous Bugs Bunny episode. It's a GIF, matter of fact, or GIF, however you say it. But it's him. He's in a prison uniform, the black and white, and he has a, what is it? The little ball. The little ball is connected to his ankle by a chain. Meaning like it was a weight. It wasn't going to let him run away. He couldn't run away with it. He couldn't go too far with it. Bro, that's how living in the past is. It's not going to allow you to move forward. You're not going to be able to run. You're not going to be able to achieve any type of goal or any type of dream. That's what that does to you. Don't be simple-minded. I had to tell myself that. I reminisce. You know, if you know me, you talk to me. I talk about, like, yo, this is how we used to cut up. But I'm not out there no more. And I'm not chasing that shit neither. You know what I'm saying? I laugh about it and I keep it moving. Like, you know, all right, cool. But I ain't talking about the work I put in or none of that goofy shit. For real, motherfucker might ask me, like, you know, how was it or how you get your name? Like, what you do? I'll explain it to him. But, like, what are we doing now? When you go in that job interview, they looking at you as you're either going to be a, if you're an asset, we're going to bring you in. If I feel like you're a liability, I ain't even going to call you back. That's me keeping it real. When I tell you not to hold on to your past, don't hold on to nothing in your past. Let it all go. I had my mentor tell me, like when I met my mentor, we worked in the same building. You know what I'm saying? She, AKA, she got all these accolades. She ain't want to hear shit about my college experience. She tore my ass, like, from top to bottom. Like, she ripped me a new one. And she was like, I know you don't like it. You look mad. But I don't want to hear about college. What can you do now? Focus on the task at hand. And that's what I'm telling y'all. Focus. My niggas, like my guys and my girls, focus. Focus. That's y'all word. Focus. Because that's what it's about. That's what life is about. People not worried about what you did previously. How are you going to be an asset? Don't dwell on that shit from your past. It holds no weight. No validity. You always need to be planning ahead. Move forward. That's my word. Don't nobody care about that street shit. Nobody. A female, if her cat getting whipped behind that shit, or a nigga dick riding you because of what you did before, bro, they small-minded. You need to leave them alone. You need to get you a real-ass woman. Because a grown woman is going to be like, nigga, I don't care about that. I used to be attracted to that type of shit. But I want a man that's getting up every day that got some business about himself. I'm glad that I know you can protect me if some shit go down. But my nigga, I need you to be getting up every day going to get the money. So we, or you know, what's your plans and your goals? I can help you achieve that. Those are the type of people you need around you. Not people that's like, yeah, back in the day, bro, used to do X, Y, and Z. Or shorty used to do X, Y, and Z. Nah. For what? What's that doing for you now? Nothing. Because your dumb ass get out here, you going to jail. You go out here wilding out, you getting locked up. We not kids no more, dog. They ain't playing. For real. So, you know, man, have your fun, put your work in, do what you gotta do, do all that, man. I'm not knocking it. Word up. Do you. But don't do you at the expense of your future. Don't let your past dictate how you move now. Leave that shit in the past. Talk about it with your folks, the people that was there. Leave that shit alone, man. It holds no weight. Nothing you did in the past is relevant now. You keep looking in the past, you're going to stay there. This is a message for everybody and for me. Real spill. So you take that shit and you run with it. Always look forward. Don't let nothing keep you down. Keep your mind in shambles and in chains. Nah, we got to keep moving forward. We are achieving goals and setting standards. 2020 new year, new vision. And our new vision is saying, fuck what we did before. That's my word. I've been there, done that, man. I done had people tell me like, bro, that don't matter. And I take that shit and I run with it. You live and you learn. If you're the smartest person in the room, you need to be in another motherfucking room. You feel me? But that is our episode for today. I hope that I didn't, you know, drag along. I hope I didn't make this unbearable. Let me put it like that. You know, I was kind of dry in the beginning. I knew that. But, you know, it's hard to kind of get up every day and motivated when there's really nothing you can do. You get what I'm saying? So I apologize for that, man. But I hope everybody is okay. That's my main thing. Are you all right? How are you doing with all that's going on around us and our personal lives, you know, are still at the forefront? We still have shit that we have to worry about. People are losing money. People are losing jobs. They're losing their way of life, their well-being. And I hope my supporters aren't affected by this too much. I really do. All of y'all are in my prayers, your families. New supporters, you as well. We're all family. We're all in this together, you know. So, I love you guys. If you need a minute to yourself, considering the circumstance, go in another room, go outside, go sit in your car, turn the car on, listen to some music, crack a window, roll up you some trees, drink you some wine, relax. Go for a walk around the house, maybe even a neighborhood. We can still do that type of stuff. But don't sit there and dwell or worry yourself crazy or think that life has stopped because the country has. No, we have to keep going. We have to keep progressing. Take out all the time you need for yourself. I've been doing that. I know, you know, I may be coming off kind of dejected, but It's only because in a time like this, your mental is very important. Don't do anything that you don't want to do. Don't capitulate to anything. You be you, even in this trying time. So put your phone down, log out of social media, put your phone on do not disturb. Just do you, do what makes you happy. You only owe people an explanation if they're someone that you love. As always, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. I'm out.